welcome to a quick Conversations of Change podcast with Dr. Jen Fram. We have a change chat with one of the leaders in the change management field. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Change Chat podcast. Now, a number of the listeners will be aware that I'm in the process or the midst of writing a book called Conversations of Change, A Guide to Implementing Workplace Change. The audience that I'm writing this for really are managers who are looking to introduce change in the workplace. And it's been brought about by the type of calls I get from coaching clients saying, I'd like some help in helping us guide us through this change. And I thought how timely it would be then, given the kind of queries I'm getting about it, is to actually have a change chat with a real life leader of change in industry. And full disclosure, this is one of my clients who has hired me into the business. So we're going to see how game he is in terms of actually being really truthful about change management consultants and contractors in the workplace. But a very big welcome to Liam Hayes, Chief People Officer of Oricon.
Thanks, Jen.
Liam, thanks for coming in. The first question I've got for you, when was the first time you put your hand up to lead a major change, and what was that experience like?
So the first time I led a major change was working for one of our predecessor businesses, Conor Wagner. And at that point, a new CEO had taken over the previous one and retired, and the organisation really hadn't gone through any major change in at least 10 to 20 years. And the new CEO had a vision in terms of the future of the organisation and embarked on really a business transformational project. And as part of that, I was asked to lead the culture/change stream that worked across the other functional lines that were looking at anything from organisational structure to leadership to business strategy.
So that's really in at the deep end, you know, that's as big as a change as you're going to get to be asked to lead. In the book, one of the things that I've grappled with is how to distinguish between organisational change management and change management, which is often more aligned with the project facing. How would you have defined that change? Did that come to you as an organisational change management piece, or did you see it as a smaller discrete change process?
Yeah, no, look, certainly it was an organisational change piece. We were really trying to shift the whole organisation and not looking at just one particular thing, mm-hmm. Everything from systems and processes to org structure. So very different to a more recent change management project that we've had, which you've been working with us on, which was the implementation of our new global HR system Workday, mm-hmm. Which was very discrete around one piece of work. Whereas if I go back to the Conor Wagner one, it was a very large program of work that was set to go over multiple years, and we'd engaged IBM Business Consulting to actually come and help us with that change.
Right. So prior to that piece of work kicking off, what had been your knowledge of organisational change?
Very little. Probably what I'd learned at university, but really when I went through university, organisational change in HR and business degrees wasn't really a topic. So the extent of my knowledge was really through reading books out of my own interest. But I really learned a lot in that first change program that I did, and was lucky enough that the consultants that I worked with from IBM and from some other organisations really mentored me and was really lucky that they were experienced change professionals that had been there, done it before with large organisations and really took me under their wing, and I got a lot out of that.
Okay.
I think you can read... You can read books, which help in terms of learning from other people's experiences. The problem I find with a lot of books on this topic is they're very theoretical, mm-hmm. And I think change has to be very practical. Mm-hmm. And until you've been through it and experienced and can work alongside others that have done the same, You kind of learn as you go.
So which adventure does this belong to if we think about what we've framed up in the book?
Yeah, look, I think it was Adventure 1.
Yeah.
And if
you
think about both that and also our more recent Workday change, I think they both fit into that Adventure 1.
Yeah.
Albeit with the Conor Wagner one, we knew we wanted to shift the organisation. We knew the types of things we had to do to shift the organisation. But we really didn't know what that looked like.
Yeah.
We had
an
idea. But when we started it, we really had to work out, well, what were the things we're actually going to do, and then how did that impact our staff? Likewise, with the Workday one, we knew we were implementing a new HR system, but that's all we really knew, and particularly because Workday used the Agile methodology in terms of implementing their system, we were really discovering what the impact of the change was going to be as we were going and designing the system. And then obviously working with yourself, Jen, and the other change practitioners that we had in the team to say, well, what does that mean in terms of how we communicate? How do we train staff?
I guess it's interesting because, you know, Adventure 1 being that you don't know what the change is per se, but you've got budget and you've potentially got resources there. For me, they would find that really uncomfortable, the fact that there is this ambiguity and uncertainty around what the final state is. Did you find it that way, or does it become something that's more empowering and liberating because you can be more creative with it?
Yeah, look, I find it more empowering and liberating because you can be more creative. I think sometimes the danger with change or transformational projects, if you're going with a fixed mind view in terms of what the end outcome must be, it does limit you in terms of possibly coming up with better ways of implementing the change. And we certainly, with Workday, we learned along the way. We knew the end goal was to implement one global HR system across the business. That was really our end goal. And we had a budget to do that. We had a team in place to do that. But we didn't know what the design of that was going to look like. And one of the things we went into that project saying was, we actually, in a lot of cases, wanted to start with a blank sheet of paper because we had processes and systems that had been in the business for a long time. We didn't want to take bad processes and put them into a new system. So I actually think it's better starting with that mindset of, yes, you've got something you have to deliver, but how you deliver and what that looks like, you really should keep an open mind. And particularly as you want to engage with wider stakeholders in the business is really important in terms of helping co-design that.
Yeah. In terms of your experience, so you've started off with that experience working with IBM and the consultants, and you've had in-house change practitioners at Oricon. You've brought people like myself in as externals. How would you categorise your experience of working with change practitioners? What's the value in it? What's the challenges? What's the frustrations? Where's their benefit?
Yeah, look, mine's been positive, and it probably goes back to my Conor Wagner example of having people that were not just here and interested in terms of helping us implement the change, but actually helping building my capability change, that they saw that their role would come to an end at some point, but this change and transformation would continue. So that was a really positive experience for me, and I think it's probably helped me in terms of then being able to, I'd like to think, pick good change practitioners that come and work within the business because I know what good looks like. You hear a lot of horror stories in terms of change programs, and you mentioned in your book, Jen, in terms of 70%, 80% of changes fail. I think there are people out there that promote themselves as change practitioners, but I do think there's a big difference between someone that may have worked once on a change project as part of a team and someone that is a trained change professional that has worked on a number of change projects, and they're the people you're really looking for. And I think that's where sometimes maybe the change practitioners get a bad reputation because people are touting themselves as change practitioners when they're really not.
It's definitely one of the challenges to the industry. I'm going to put you on the spot because you are in a unique role as the Chief People Officer. You've done some really super interesting, exciting work around defining future-ready capabilities of your people. And I'll link the listeners back to the Oricon Attributes video on YouTube because I think that tells that story really well. What do you see the in terms of future ready and change capability? Where does that, are we going to look towards making change practitioners extinct because that should be an in-house capability? You know, does there continue to be a role for change practitioners? Are you expecting all of your line managers to be really good change managers? What's your view at that macro level?
So I kind of look at it from the point of view of HR practitioners as well, that ultimately we want to build leadership capability and have leaders that are good in terms of leading people and leading change. I don't think that necessarily does away with change practitioners or HR practitioners, because our role in some sense becomes more strategic because we become the coaches to these people. And you actually, in your book, Jen, you talk about obviously change agents and change champions, that actually those people that we do need to be communicating the messages and driving change just become good at it. But they've got a day job, so they're not going to be able to have the time to be able to think about, well, what does this whole change program look like? What are the different touch points? Who do we need to engage with? I think hopefully over time, what we'll find maybe in 5 to 10 years, that more changes succeed than what they do today, because we do have more people in businesses that understand change and therefore become drivers of change. I think where we've gone in terms of looking at future ready capability and so forth, and using design thinking as a way to help shape what that looks like for us, I think there's an opportunity for design thinking to come into the toolkit of change practitioners that would be really beneficial to them and to the business.
It's interesting because I think there's a chapter later in the book about this, because one of the challenges for people in understanding practitioners and their toolkits is that we have such a diverse toolkit. So you will find change practitioners who are really steeped in design. You'll find others who are very strong on their structure and their methodologies and stuff like that. But it's then, how do you determine what the right practitioner is for your engagement? How do you go about that? How do you scope out what type of change practitioner do I need?
So probably now I'd be looking for a change practitioner that's less structured, because I've seen the value of design thinking and how we've applied it in the business. And I also think that a lot of the projects that we're doing require more of an agile approach than a structured approach. And I think sometimes the structured approach leads to limited thinking and ideas. But that's a personal point of view. I've no doubt there are still projects out there that require more of a structured approach to them.
Okay, so you've gone out for lunch, a networking lunch, you're seated next to someone who's just said that they're about to introduce a major change to their organisation for the very first time. What's going to be your advice to that person?
Hire a specialist change person if you don't have one, because I think too often organisations fall into the trap of looking and saying, well, yes, we've got this change project, that we've got a project that we need to deliver, and yes, an element of it is change, and that person over there has got some spare time, so let's get them to lead the change. And I think that's why we see such a high failure of change projects, is because we don't get the right people leading it. And so if you have a major change project, yes, there is a cost, but the greater cost is failure. So invest up front and put a change person in place, because I think you'll see the real benefits in terms of a more successful outcome, greater chance of a more successful outcome.
Oh, look, we love that message. What are the hallmarks of successful change based on what you've done?
So for us, if I look at the Workday project, obviously user adoption was really a key there, and not just user adoption, but the user experience. So we were coming off platforms that were very outdated. The user experience was not great. It was one of the key reasons for us making this such an investment in a new system. So for that project, it was very much about, we could go out and survey the business and say, well, how do you experience using this new system? And if that was positive, which it was, then we really delivered in terms of what we're looking to achieve. There are obviously other things in terms of consistent data and so forth, but those things more benefited HR or leadership in terms of reporting. For us, for 7,000 staff across 26 countries, it was, did they actually enjoy using the system? Because if they enjoyed using the system, then we could get them to do the things we needed to do around updating skills and experience or doing performance and development, etc.
Excellent. Liam Hayes, this has been a pleasure to have a change chat with you. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this change chat, then do share with your colleagues and friends. You can find more at conversationsofchange.com.au, at Jen Fram on Twitter, or Conversations of Change on the Facebook.